We're joined right now by a 10-year MLB vet. He was the ninth pick overall in the 1994 draft, a broadcaster for the Texas Rangers, host on MLB Radio. And given that I am traveling this weekend, I'm very happy to say and to know he is still America's foremost authority on travel etiquette. He is CJ Nikowski. CJ, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. You know, now that I work for the Rangers, my exposure to public travel has gone down a little bit. I still have it, but I fly with the team a lot when I'm with them, so I don't get nearly as much as I used to compared to when I was working at Fox.
Yeah, I got three letters for you, MBN. Must be nice. Must be nice. But but I know you'll get like the rest of us, CJ, and when you do, you'll dial us back in.
All right.
So what a crazy week it's been. There's been so much going on in baseball this week, and there are a lot of different places to start. But take me back. What was your first reaction when you first heard the allegations that the Astros were using video monitors and trash cans to signal pitches to the batter?
Yeah, the allegations didn't surprise me as much. I mean, players will try anything, and the idea of what technology you have available and using that to your advantage is not that surprising. It's a little brazen, right? The idea of using a trash can and using a sound to have that signal. Usually, right, it's a runner at second base who can then relay signs, or maybe a coach at first or third base that might be able to relay signs. It's a little bit riskier, a little bit tougher because you don't have nearly as much time. But the idea of getting the signs to the hitter without anybody on base and using a loud sound to do it. Like, there's been accusations over the years and even going back to me during the 90s and early 2000s about teams and a light being out in the outfield somewhere that only the players knew where it was. And they'd look for it. If they saw that light go on, they knew it was a fastball. Those kinds of things have always been kind of rumored. But we've never had evidence like this, and we've never had an organization get as ballsy as this by using a trash can, something that everyone could hear if they had any idea what was going on.
You've got the trash can, and then, of course, you've got buzzer technology, if in fact that exists. You tweeted yesterday, this scandal, quote, has cost three managers their jobs, at least one executive his, numerous high-round draft picks, millions in salary, two tainted World Series. The damage done by the decision to cheat and then cheat again is absolutely jaw-dropping. The inner circle of scandal ruined lives, end quote. It's a really strong tweet. Just how bad is this for baseball?
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal for the game. I think the good news is that, you know, every time something comes up like PEDs, like with, you know, amphetamines, and we've had to go through these periods where they're rough gambling situations, we always come out of it. And it was just time to get things cleaned up. And so Mike Fiers decided to go ahead and make that happen. But, you know, the collateral damage is significant. And I think about guys like A.J. Hinch, who didn't participate but didn't stop it. Right, so he gets suspended for a year without pay. He loses 1 year of salary. They fire him, and I don't know the details of his contract, but they may have just cause in there not to have to pay him at all. He had 3 years left on his deal. I mean, that's upwards of potentially around $9 million for him that is lost. And it wasn't like he was a player that made a ton of money during his career. I mean, that's significant for him if that ends up being the case. And you know, it's just, that's the part that gets really shocking. And Alex Cora, you know, same situation, a couple of years left on his contract. Carlos Beltran doesn't even make it to spring training. And who knows if he'll ever manage again. I know he's fine. He's done really well for himself. But he said he only wanted to manage in New York and was waiting for that opportunity to come up. He turned down opportunities to interview other places. And so for a guy that seemed like he had the passion to manage but kind of on his terms, may never get that opportunity now because of what happened. So it's significant damage that'll last for a while. I think this is one that we'll talk about for a long time.
We're talking to CJ Nikowski. I'm going to go back to Mike Fiers in a minute, CJ, but what about the managers you mentioned? In your opinion, do the punishments for Hinch, Cora, and Beltran, do they fit their crimes?
You know, the Beltran one was tough for me. I didn't feel strongly about him losing his job. It was interesting that the Mets said that they were blindsided by the fact that he was in the report and they had never broached the subject with him. That's surprising, I think, to everybody that has been kind of watching this, that it never came up. He did lie to the media, which is, you know, I understand why he did it. You know, you don't have to tell the media the truth, but if you're going to lead an organization, you do. And I think the idea that that was his first reaction is probably what cost him that opportunity, especially in that market. It's 1 year for Hinch as far as the suspension goes. I mean, he could be managing again theoretically in 2021. I don't think it's going to happen, but it was a 1 year penalty. I was a little stiffer than I expected. I thought it was going to be a couple of months. And you know, good for Rob Manfred, because if it was just a couple of months and he was managing that team in June, I don't know how much of a deterrent that really would have been. You know, and Alex Cora is not done yet. He got fired or let go, or they, you know, they used the, you know, parting ways, and it was mutual. But he still has to face his punishment. They still have to finish up that Red Sox investigation. He very well may get 2 years. And so it was heavy-handed. I know some people are saying it's too light. I felt like it was pretty heavy-handed, but Rob Manfred certainly made his point.
CJ Nikowski joining us. All right, so what about Fires? He's taken some heat in some corners, and not a little either, for speaking out.
Yeah.
What do you think of how he handled it?
You know, this thing was so big in the end that I think it's okay that he did it that way. I understand, you know, people say clubhouse culture, and I get it. I think clubhouse culture had to lead with A.J. Hinch not saying anything just because of the clubhouse culture, even though he was the manager, not to say anything and tell players that they couldn't do something. I know a lot of fans are upset. He waited till he left. I was talking to a former player today who seemed really upset about it and said, screw him. You know, why didn't he say anything when he was getting support, run support from these guys that were cheating at the time? You know, you go on the other side and you see your team getting beat, or you see young guys struggling to keep their head above water. They're already a really good team. And knowing that they have that kind of advantage, it seems like that, from what we can gather, was kind of pulling at him, and that's why he decided to say something. This was a big deal. This wasn't something small. This wasn't, hey, heads up, they're really good at relaying signs, and you know, just make sure you guard your signs a little bit better. I mean, this was pretty sinister as far as the way that they did it and the depths that they went to make it happen. I don't have a problem with him saying anything. I don't know if I would have felt differently when I had the uniform on, or if I was a member of the Astros. I'm sure if I played for them at the time, I probably would be upset with him that he did it. So I get that side of the argument, but I don't have a problem that he went public with it. Right? If he doesn't go public, this thing ends up being a column from an anonymous source, and it probably dies. And everything continues the same, and everyone still has their job. And while I wish everyone had their job, the fact of the matter is that they made a bad decision that led to them getting fired and suspended. And that's probably better for the game.
So obviously it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. In relative terms, for instance, how does this compare to the PED scandal?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It was interesting. Alex Wood tweeted out that he would rather face a player on steroids than one that knew every pitch it was coming. And I had to think about that one for a little while because, you know, the PED stuff gave you such a physical but also a mental advantage, the confidence and less fatigue over the course of a full season. And I'm kind of back and forth on it a little bit, but I get what he's saying. And the idea that it's probably worse, I don't know. You know, the thing with PEDs, they're illegal, right? I mean, then people say, oh, they weren't, you know, baseball didn't have rules at the time. Well, it's still illegal, right? You weren't allowed to buy steroids. That was always illegal. So you had to break the law to take PEDs, which was, you know, kind of a big deal. And we got some of our, you know, greatest records that have now been ruined, right? Nobody has ever broken even Roger Maris's record that didn't take PEDs, right? That still kind of stinks for our game. Like, I hate that part of our game. So the historical factor, maybe PEDs is a little bit worse, but this one, it's close. I mean, it's definitely right up there. And as far as the actual offense, you know, player to player, this one might be worse.
All right, so what about that? Like, if you're a batter, how much of an edge is there if you were tipped off to what was coming, either by a trash can lid or a buzzer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the idea of the paranoia when you hear that you might be tipping pitches.
Yeah.
For pitchers, I mean, it completely freaks you out. You've seen it. It comes up all the time these days because, you know, hitters are really good at kind of detecting and watching and looking for tells, and that's a real thing. And then take a guy like Aroldis Chapman, right? The guy that Jose Altuve hit the home run against and ended up eliminating the Yankees from championship series this year and sending them home. I don't think the Band-Aid thing is real. We'll see. There's just no real evidence behind that right now. But the idea that you could eliminate one of Aroldis Chapman's pitches, right? When you're dealing with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball or a really nasty slider, and you can stand in the box with confidence knowing that that fastball is not coming, you can sit on the slider, that's a big deal. And it's probably a bigger deal now in today's game because we have so many power arms. Like, these guys are so good and throw so hard. So if you can eliminate something or sit on something, you know a fastball is coming, and this guy sits 95 to 100, you're feeling a lot better and a lot more confident and get zoned in. So it's a huge deal for hitters.
CJ Nikowski joining me for a few more moments. Expertly done, as always. All right, so what about the suggestion, CJ, that technology is the real problem here? In your mind, is technology the problem?
No, because I think you could have done this 25 years ago, right? You could have set up a camera in the outfield. Now, the camera would have been a lot bigger, a clunkier, and you wouldn't have gotten an HD back in your clubhouse. It would have been a monitor that's 10 times heavier than every other monitor and bigger, but you could have done it. The technology, for me, at least as far as what the Astros did and what we know they did, I don't think is the issue. I do think the idea of the replay room and hitters going back and watching at-bats throughout the game, that probably needs to go away. When you have that opportunity, you know, you may pick up something inadvertently, right? You might be going back to watch, you know, one of your at-bats, say you're a DH, and you get to go back afterwards, and you're watching your at-bat from the first inning, and all of a sudden you notice something that maybe the pitcher's tipping, or you can pick up a sign, or you see something that gives you an advantage. That probably shouldn't happen. So that replay room needs to be separate from the clubhouse. It needs to be closed off, in my opinion. Come game time, and you want to go look at your at-bats, you can do it after the game and make your assessment from there. But just the idea of accessing video in real time probably needs to be completely shut down. But, I mean, the other technology, some people have a tendency to lump it all together. Like what we're doing with pitchers and hitters and the measurements that they can take and these cameras that they have, the things that are called Rapsodo and TrackMan and other things, none of that was used in cheating, and you couldn't use that stuff necessarily to cheat. So that's moved the game forward in a big way, and that had nothing to do with this and shouldn't go away.
And then let me finally ask you this then. How prominent, if you had to guess, how prevalent do you think it is? For instance, were the Astros and Red Sox the only teams cheating like this, allegedly, or are they the only ones who've been caught so far?
Yeah, this is a tough one because I really missed on the steroid one. You know, when people started throwing that 50% number around, I was like, no, there's no way. And then over the years, I'm like, you know what, maybe it was at least that and maybe even higher. I always have a tendency to want to be optimistic and give people the benefit of the doubt, which you end up losing on more often than not. But I would say, you know, it's hard to put a number on it. You know, the question is not so much about cheating, but are you going, you know, or stealing signs, but are you going above and beyond? Rob Manfred issued that statement, told all the teams, you cannot use electronics to cheat. We've seen teams try, which is a problem. You can't pick up the replay phone and call up to the replay room and ask a question that's not regarding replay. And so little things like that certainly had happened. I will tell you that it was probably about five years ago, I was calling a game in Cleveland, and Justin Verlander was pitching against the Indians in Cleveland. Nobody on base, and he was using multiple signs. And so I just brought up on the broadcast, it was a national Fox broadcast, and said, listen, he's doing that because he's suspicious of something in the stadium. I'm not saying they did anything, but those kind of suspicions are real. And they obviously were to Justin Verlander, and he was taking no chances. He didn't come out and say that he thought they were cheating. It was just more precautionary for him, and he was probably going off of something that he had heard in the past or something that he experienced that threw him off a little bit. So, you know, players, especially pitchers, are always a little bit curious, but to put a number on it is tough. But it's probably more than just these two teams. It's like anything, man. Like, you know, there's a bunch of guys that got away with taking steroids, and it's a terrible advice, but the reality is if you're going to cheat, just don't get caught.
Exactly, and these guys got caught. He is a 10-year MLB vet. He was the ninth pick overall in 1994. He is a broadcaster now for the Rangers. He's the host of MLB Radio. And CJ, charter or not, I don't care. You will always be America's foremost authority on travel etiquette. You're my guru, my go-to. So don't forget it. That's a responsibility that you need to live up to still.
Oh, I know. Don't let me steer you wrong. I still have plenty of commercial flights. It's not nearly as many.
Good. I like it. CJ, thanks so much. Appreciate you. Great
thanks,
job.
Jim.
Really well done. CJ Nikowski. All right. So your thoughts on that. We will come back. Our number two, buzzer technology.